Paul Oxley's Unit Last Geekin Vaasa is in Vaasan kaupungin teatteri 13th October. Paul Oxley, welcome to Radio Vaasa.
Thank you for having me.
Where came name Paul Oxley? Your name is Malcolm Campbell.
There's a little bit of a story about that, because when I first moved to Finland, I was introduced as Malcolm Campbell, and nobody could say it. You know, they stumble over the words like Malcolm Campbell. So I thought, I'm going to have to do something about this. So I thought the obvious thing to do is change the first name to a simple name. So I just picked a Finnish name that I'd heard before, Finnish English. So I chose Paul, just out of the blue. My hero was Paul McCartney, so maybe there was something psychological there. That worked fine. I was introduced to everybody. Hi, this is Paul. Hello, Paul. But then when it came to my second name, there was a problem again. So people just say, Paul. So I thought, I'm going to have to change this as well. So I was very smart. I thought, I'm going to pick a name that Finnish people would be able to pronounce very easily. So I thought of the most common things that people say in Finnish, and uksikoksikolmi. So I just picked a name that sounded like that, so it became uksikoksikolmi Oxley. So it became a bit of a joke, that, but that's how it came about. We just tried to pick a name that people could say.
Paul Oxley's Unit, how does that start?
I first moved to Finland because, like most English people who live in Finland, I met an au pair girl in Tammisaari, in Ekenäs. And I just came over on holiday first. We came for midsummer, as I remember. And it was the most fantastic time I'd ever had. You know, it was just a real culture shock for me. It was just beautiful. We went, because I stayed in Ekenäs, which, as you know, is the most beautiful place. And we were out in the boat and the sea, and just had a great time. This was in June, midsummer. Then I'd planned to go back to England. So I moved back to England, I think at the end of the end of June or something, went back to Manchester. And I think my girlfriend came with me, and we thought about staying in Manchester for a while. And then she said, why don't you come move back with me? I said, you know, I will. I loved it so much. So we made all the plans and everything. And then we moved back, and it was like October or something. So then it started to get really cold. It was a completely different place, but I still loved it. And I think that was the test of it for English people. If you come and you love the winter as well as the summer, then it's, you know, you should live here. So that's how it all started. And she introduced me to a couple of bands. There was the Basement Band in Ekenäs, and Machine, I think they were called at the time. And I just randomly out of the blue said, let's go and meet the Basement Band. So we went to meet them, and that was Uffi and Chell and Jani Romberi at the time, Bjorn Ockerberry, who were the bassists of Paul Oxley's Unit. I could have gone and met the other band and maybe joined them, and that was Ben Marlane, who went on to be in Trance Dance and became like really famous in Sweden. So sliding doors.
Paul Oxley's Unit was very big in Finland 1980s. What kind of time that was?
It was a bit of a whirlwind, really. I mean, I think I said to other people, you come from Manchester, you know, and I had quite a simple bringing in Manchester. To come over here and then suddenly get really famous was a bit of a shock, you know. And so you're going from nothing to just, you know, traveling around the country, doing gigs with U2, flying in private jets, well, not a jet, but the private aircraft to do different festival gigs, and screaming fans and stuff like that. It was absolutely unreal. And but it was really amazing. I remember moments like the U2 gig was quite pretty amazing for me, actually, to play at Roos Rock and standing in the winds and watching that band and then, you know, playing before them and stuff like that. So yeah, it was just absolutely amazing.
How does it feel when everything ended in 80s?
It was very sad in a way. You don't know what's going on when you're in the middle of it. I mean, you can predict what's going to happen now. Every band has a high, and then they start to go down, and they start fighting or whatever. Or some of them go into drugs and all the rest of it. I never did that, fortunately. But you always feel like, whoa, why is it happening to me? But it's just life, and that's what happens. And really, you think it's the end of the world. But if you saw it from the perspective, like from my age now and look back, it was a natural rhythm. The band gets really famous, they start to go down, they get a bit lose confidence and they feel depressed, and then they split up. Really, you have to ride that out. You have to, you know, in retrospect, I should have just carried on, but just not done so many gigs and just taken the pressure off and just waited, because there's always an upslide again and you kind of come back to popularity. But I just completely lost it and went back to England and did completely different things and got married and had some children and so on. And then we tried to do a comeback in the mid-90s, and that was very difficult then because there's a long gap between the fame stage in the 80s and the 90s. But we kept at it, really, and we've been playing pretty much every... We played every summer all through the 90s into the 2000s, and then I moved back here 2007-ish, did a solo album, and then we decided to get the band together properly again, and we've been gigging ever since. We've done lots and lots of gigs, brought out two albums.
But now, last tour, why?
Yeah, just a combination of things. I mean, we just looked at each other one day, and it was a real struggle keeping the band on the road because it's expensive, you know, and you're not making any money from the record sales these days for independent bands. There's hardly any independent bands now who are self-sufficient. They just can't afford to do it, so there's no royalties coming in. Gigs are okay, but if it's a major tour like the Rolling Stones, yeah, you're going to make some money, but just like gigging independently, it's very tough. So that was one of the reasons. We all had different projects on the brew. I know Uffy's been very busy with lots of different projects, and he has a recording studio called Wolf Tracks in Akerness, and he's been very busy with that. Chel Acom's always got lots of different projects, but his main project recently has been writing a book about Porlocks's unit, and that comes out in the next couple of weeks before the tour. So people may be able to buy it on the tour, but it's got to get past me and Uffy first, because we're going to analyse what he's written and see if there's any dirty secrets in there. So we'll see. Yeah, and I've been doing... I'm very interested in acoustic music. I've always been like doing solo gigs with acoustic guitar and playing with different people, like Lowry Schreck. We had a duo with. And for the last few months, I've been playing with a band called Porlocks's Acoustic Circus. And I met two guys from Spain while I was playing over there, a flamenco guitarist and his brother who plays percussion, and they're just amazing. And together with my keyboard player Rob Dominis, who's a jazz player, it makes a really interesting fusion of music. We've got pop meets jazz and flamenco. So we did a small tour here last year, and we really enjoyed it. So I'll be doing a little bit more of that. I think we might have a tour planned for the spring. And also, I'm going to do a really stripped-back acoustic album of all the Porlocks's unit songs, just myself and guitar.
And there is coming also the last song from Porlocks's unit.
Yes, yeah. When we started planning this tour, I wrote a song about it. It's not just about the tour, but just reflecting on the past and, mistakes I've made and so on. And it's very nostalgic, and we nearly put it on the last album, but we thought it was different. It was kind of different from everything else. So when the tour came on, we decided we were going to do the final gig at Tavastia. I thought, hey, this song really fits the sentiment. You know, it's very nostalgic and sad. So we decided to record it. So now that's what brings me to Vasa.
Porlocks's unit last gig in Vaasa is in Vaasan kaupungin teatteri, 13 October. What kind of gig shall we wait?
Well, we're working this time with a string quartet, so that has been absolutely amazing. I mean, these girls are very talented. They're called the LA Strings. They're not from LA. It's because the leader of the strings is Lotta Alberi. LA. We thought that was pretty cool. But we've been working with them before, and it really lifts the band to have the strings there. And it works so well with some of the songs because, like, for example, Terry's Inside is very much string orientated. We use a lot of strings on many of the songs, but were more synthesized. But when you do it with real strings, it just sounds amazing. Spanish Bar's incredible with the strings. And they're such characters, these girls. They're great. And they can all sing as well. So that's a really added dimension to the thing. But, of course, we've been playing for 40 years now. It is our 40-year anniversary, as well as it being the last gig. We kind of have a lot of fun on the stage now. We used to be very serious about it and, like, you know, you analyze everything, but now it's just total fun. And because we know the parts, we know the songs, we've been doing them for years, and it's very comfortable to play now. So, and we're really looking forward to Vaasa because, of course, we've got a very special connection here. I lived here for 2 years when I was working with songwriting with Jani. So yeah, I really love the place, and that one's going to be a good one. We're looking forward to that.